And for some of you, it's what we're talking about is very familiar. For some of you, you may be hearing it for the very first time. But for all of us, the meaning of it has practical ramifications for every single day of our lives. Because the more in touch we are with the tenets and the ramifications of the gospel, the more in touch we are with what this whole thing is all about, the more vibrant our lives will be, the more effective they will be, the more enjoyable they will be, the more of a testimony they will be. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We have been set apart as His ambassadors, not just in what we say, but we are ambassadors by the embodiment of His Holy Spirit. And as He lives His life through us, the Scripture says we are a fragrant aroma of Christ that God manifests in every place. The Scripture says that He is always leading us in His triumph in Christ Jesus. And so the gospel has repercussions throughout all of history and through our own lives. And so as we become more and more acquainted with it and as we meditate on it, as we don't take it for granted, as God gives us grace to embrace it for what it truly is, then it has its effect in our lives day by day. This morning our message is titled The Eternal Christmas Presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, the eternal Christmas presence. And if you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41, I'm actually going to read a couple of very brief passages, one in Isaiah 41 and the other in Isaiah 43. So let's start in Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. Isaiah 41, starting in verse 8. Okay, Isaiah 41, 8 through 10. But you, O Israel, now he's speaking in contrast, if you were to read the first seven verses, he's speaking about this in contrast to the nations that are depending upon idols for protection from an imposing enemy that's coming in their direction. And he talks about how they build up these false gods from gold and silver, and then he contrasts it with this but in verse 8 of chapter 41. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So they have idols, you have me. Turn to chapter 43 now. Chapter 43, a couple pages over, two or three pages over. And verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. In other words, he's saying, keep this in mind, my people. Your welfare and your well-being does not rest in the hands of an idol, of a false god. Your well-being, your welfare rests in me. It's all about me. So the main idea that I want you to capture this morning, God's presence with us is all the blessing we need. God's presence with us is all the blessing we need, comma, when we take the time to meditate upon it. God's presence with us is all the blessing we need when we take the time to meditate upon it. In the context, the passages that I just read applies to the nation of Israel. It's a national promise, but it can also be applied to us personally because of other supportive scriptures. And one example of this is Hebrews 13. We often quote Hebrews 13 where it says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Well, that was originally a national prayer to the entire nation of Israel, but it was applied specifically to Joshua a little bit later on. And so in the same way, when the Lord says, do not fear, I am with you, we can claim this for ourselves because the scripture says we are the Israel of God. We are his people. And this was a promise that he made specifically to his people. So his presence with us, as we think about it, I want you to capture three words that I'm going to develop. His presence with us is a rich blessing that includes supply, support, and surprise. And every time I say that word surprise, it makes me smile. As I was preparing the message, I wrote down supply, support, surprise, and I kept smiling. And I said, Lord, why does that make me smile? And I'll tell you why a little bit later on. But let's start with this whole thing of support, of supply. The reason why the Lord's presence with us is all the blessing that we need when we meditate upon it is because his presence with us carries the promise of supply, that he is going to supply all of our needs. Now, he says, I will strengthen and help you. I ask the Lord for things, and I ask him to do things. When I pray, I ask the Lord for specific things that I want, and I ask him for specific things that I have that I don't want. I ask him to do things. I ask him to change things. I ask him to be actively involved in my practical life because the Lord wants to be involved in our practical lives. And that is why he says, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Lift up all kinds of prayers, the scripture says, because God wants to be present in our lives as they are day by day. So when I think about supply, I trust him to give me what I need to help me to do what I need to do. But what I want most from him, what I want most from him is not that he do something for me. What I want most is for him to be something to me. I don't want him primarily to do more for me. I want him primarily to become more to me. This is my biggest desire and my prayer for you all, my prayer for every person that comes through that door. Before I get here on Sunday morning, after I leave here, after Sunday morning, during the week, my regular, my consistent, and my most fervent prayer is that the Lord would give us an appetite. See, you can't create an appetite on your own. The Lord has to give us an appetite. And during this holiday season, the kind of appetite that I'm praying for is an appetite that I call a Psalm 63 appetite. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land. So I'm asking that the Lord would give us an appetite for Him. I'm asking that even beyond what He does for us, even beyond what we're asking Him to change, that our appetite would be for more of Him, that our prayer would be, Lord, You said, open wide Your mouth, and I will fill it. Lord, give us the desire to open wide our mouths for You, so that You can fill it, so that You can be that it and fill it. As Your word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, there's so much more of You that we have simply not sampled. Give us an appetite for more of You. See, Lord, You are fresh bread and living water. And our souls find delight in You. And You're able to make Yourself enough in all situations for us. You Yourself, not only what You do and not only what You give. So, you know, we've been praying all year that the Lord would draw us nearer to Himself. Let me explain a little bit about what comes to my mind when I think about that. When I'm praying that for myself, when I'm praying that for Michael, when I'm praying that for my wife, when I'm praying that for Bill and the rest of you all, when your faces scroll up in my mind and in my consciousness, and before the Lord I'm praying for you, what I'm asking for is that He would become dearer to us. Not that we would become dearer to Him. See, you cannot become any more dear to Him than you are. So when I'm talking about drawing us near, it's not like, Lord, please take us. We know we're a mess, but please take us closer to You. No, as though the Lord has some repugnance towards us. No, we've been spotlessly washed. We are delightful to Him. What that prayer means is, Lord, You become dearer to us as You see us as dear to You. Open our eyes so that we can see how precious we are to You. Help us, Lord, clear away the obstacles, the distractions, the barriers, the lies of the evil one, the things that prevent us from seeing how magnificently You view us, so that we draw nearer to You, and we want to feel the nearness of You that is ours by right because of Jesus Christ. So it's really about removing the filters and the obstacles that prevent us from experiencing the nearness that we have. But the Lord says, I'm with you and I'm going to help you, and He wants to supply that for us. And as the Lord is actively involved in our lives, that is a blessing that comes with His presence. With His presence. Secondly, support. I will uphold you. I told the Lord the other day, Lord, it's been a long journey. Been a long journey, and I imagine us sitting on a log and looking back over the road that we've traveled together, you and I. I imagine that we've been, you know, we take our backpacks off and we sit down together on a log and we look back over the long, dusty road that we've covered together. And I said to the Lord, even though others certainly did, Lord, thank You. Thank You, thank You that You never wrote me off. You never wrote me off as a loss or as a loser. You never gave up on me. Thank You for redeeming my weaknesses, for refining my strengths, and continuing to fan my potential. You, Lord, not my brilliance, not my strength, not my spirituality. You are the distinguishing factor in my life. You have been, You are, and You will be. 2 Samuel 22, 32 through 37, we read these words. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. So the Lord is there support for us in the big things. When everybody else turns away, when everything turns against us, when it's sinking, the Lord offers us his support. He says, I will uphold you. You may feel like the weight is crushing you, but I will uphold you in the big things and in the small things, not just the big things. Grace read a little thing that I do each week called Simply Grateful. Actually, I do it pretty much every day. And it's just taking time out to just thank the Lord for something. And on this particular day, I said, I was simply grateful. I said, Lord, though it may seem like a humble position to take, the idea that some of our concerns are too insignificant for God to bother with, that's not a humble mindset. Even though it seems that way, some of our issues are just too insignificant for God to bother with. It's not a humble mindset. In actuality, it detracts from his majesty. Whether the smallest matters on earth or the greatest problems in the universe, he's able to handle both with equal attentiveness, skill, and without the slightest bit of bother. The Lord can never be distracted. And he can never be depleted. He can handle the smallest little thing that perturbs us and still be dealing with a world crisis on the other end of the globe. And so when we say, Lord, I don't want to bother you, it's actually detracting from how great he is. He's not distracted. He's not depleted. He can handle it all. It says in Jeremiah, I fill heaven and earth. I fill heaven and earth. I'm everywhere at all times. Says, is anything too hard for me? And so the invitation in Scripture for us to cast all of our anxieties on him, big and small, it doesn't say just the big ones, but all of our anxieties. So the exhortation for us to cast all of our anxieties on him is not only a blessing to us, but it's also a tribute to the awesomeness and the glory of our God. And so I say to myself, why not ask? Sure, there are things I can do on my own without asking for God's help, like finding my car keys or finding a parking spot or making it on time for my appointment. People who don't even believe in God can make these things happen on their own. So the question is, why should I pray about such simple things? But the way I reason it is this. If he's offering the help, why not take it? And if he chooses not to, what have I lost? Why not take advantage and full advantage of an ever-present helper, an inexhaustible resource who's given us permission to pray about everything? Why not let him, as he often will, surprise you with his care and attentiveness in the big things and the small things. So the Lord offers us support in everything, big or small. If it matters to you, it matters to him. And that is one of the reasons why his presence with us is all the blessing we need if we take the time to meditate upon it. If we recognize that we're not alone, that we've not been left here to navigate, figure it out, tough it out on our own. And that brings us to the third one, which is surprise. And I smile every time I say surprise, because the Lord is a surprising God. You see, think about this. It says there in Isaiah 43, When you pass through, not if. He didn't say, and if you happen to pass through the fires. If you happen to go through streams or rivers that are at flood levels. When in this world you will have tribulations. In James, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. But thank you, Lord, that you don't send me through trials. You accompany me through trials. When you pass through, they're not going to overflow you. When you go through the fire, it's not going to set you ablaze because I am with you. You're going to pass through consuming fires. You're going to go through raging waters, but you're going to be surprised that the waters don't drown you. That's surprising. The natural thing, you go through waters that are overwhelming as you drown. The natural thing is you go through fire and you get scorched. But what's surprising is that you're going to go through it like everybody else, but you're going to be surprised because it's not going to burn you up. And you're going to be surprised that you're not going to drown. And I'm going to surprise you in the way that it happens. Because the Lord is the personification of creativity. I mean, he is the creator. I am the creator, he says. And so he invented and created creativity. And he has been surprising in the way he has done things from the very beginning when the church first started in Acts chapter 2. And everybody was excited. It says everyone was filled with a sense of awe and wonder at the stuff that was going on. They didn't know what was happening. I mean, all they could do is just go along with the flow of it. It was just, God was just doing stuff. So from the very beginning, he established himself as not only one who answers prayers, but a creative answerer, a creative support, a surprise. You know, I was thinking about the passage there in Matthew 17. Where Peter and the Lord are in Jerusalem and they're getting hassled about a temple tax. And Jesus' opponents are saying, how come you don't pay the temple tax? And Jesus said something aside to Peter, said, well, you know, we're really kind of exempt from this, but we don't want to cause anybody any offense. So here's what I want you to do, Peter. I want you to go down to the lake and I want you to throw your line in the water and the first fish you catch, open his mouth, and there's going to be a coin in his mouth. Take the coin that's in his mouth and then pay. It'll be enough for you and for me. So go fishing, catch the fish, take the first fish, open his mouth, pull the coin out, pay the temple tax for you and me. Huh. Now, why didn't he just say, take 50 paces and pull up the mossy stone and there's a coin under it? Or look behind you, Peter, there it is. Why did he go through all of that, go fishing, and the first fish you catch, pull him out, open his mouth, and there will be a coin in enough for you and for me? You know why? Because he's creative. I mean, you can kind of slice it around and try to find the heavier theological attachment to it. I haven't been able to. There's nothing that says, and so Jesus, according to the law of Moses, told Peter, no, it's not there. It's just the way he wanted to do it. He's creative. Why did he wait until they got to the edge of the Red Sea and then said, okay, this is what I'm going to just part the sea? Why didn't you come up with some route, Lord, that prevented them from going in that direction in the first place? Hey, he could have done that any way he wanted to. Because he is creative. And he wants us to know that there is no obstacle that he cannot surmount. That he wants us to know that even when it appears to be completely dead and it doesn't matter what it is, you don't have anything, you don't know what to do next, it seems like the barriers are insurmountable, I want you to know that I am infinitely creative and I am with you. So nothing is never nothing with me. And something is always more than what it appears to be with me. And the people around you are resources, whether they know it or not. They don't even know that they're helping you, and I will make them help you because I am with you and I am creative, and I want you to be surprised by the way I operate. Because I am a surprise. I'm creative. It's what I do. I can't help myself. I am the creator, which means I will be, for as long as you know me, creative in the ways that I handle your life and your business. So don't be surprised by being surprised. That is my MO. So when you walk through the waters, don't worry about it. They're not going to drown you. Fire's not going to scorch you because I'm with you. And you're going to be surprised by the ways that I prevent you from drowning. You're going to be surprised by the ways that I prevent you from being scorched. In our Bible study last week, I asked this question. I said, if you could choose between taking the Lord's hand and letting him lead you into the future, or being given by him a remote control by which you could program your own future, which would you choose? Said, don't be spiritual. No spirituality allowed. Answer honestly. Which would you choose? And I said, now keep in mind that if you choose the remote control, you would forfeit the Lord's oversight of your choices. Because essentially, you are in effect choosing to be your own God. Okay? Or on the other hand, if you choose his hand, you are surrendering your right to know the future or to establish your own timelines or your own outcomes. Because now you have his hand and he's the one that's in control. Which one would you pick? Nobody picked the Lord's hand. Everybody wanted the remote. I'm kidding. It was the other way around. It's the other way around. Nobody wanted the remote. Nobody chose it. Honestly, they said, I don't want that thing. I don't want that thing. And Brother Jim said, the reason why I don't want it, he said, I had a remote before. Before I came to know the Lord, I had a remote. I didn't like how that thing turned out. And we could all say amen. And so the Lord says, no, I'm not going to give you a remote. I'm going to give you my hand. But if you take my hand, then you have to let me be the one who leads you through this. Otherwise, take the remote and see how you fare. So I say to the Lord, Lord, thank you that when it comes to cultivating my spiritual life, sometimes one thing works, and at other times, it's something else or someone else. But in all things, you are the activating force. So thank you for mixing it up. Thank you for surprising me. Thank you for exercising my ability to diversify and expand my approaches to connecting with you. Thank you that you mix it up so it's not predictable. That I don't have it all figured out. For expanding my horizons and helping me to see by virtue of things that one day really touch me. And other days, ho-hum. Bringing someone along on one day and then somebody else another day. Or letting me sit for several days without any kind of clue that you're anywhere near. And then all of a sudden, overwhelming me with the reality of your presence. Thank you for mixing it up and expanding my horizons and my view. As the scripture says in Psalm 139, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast because you are so creative. It's like the old Visa commercial. He's everywhere you want to be. And he's everywhere you're going to be. And he's there with all of his creative splendor. You know, when I think about my spiritual plan, someone asked me once, what's your spiritual plan? I mean, do you have some, how do you do that? Is what they were kind of asking. I didn't know what that was, but they were asking me. And I thought about that. What is my spiritual plan? I said, you know, my spiritual plan is really quite simple. Spend time with the Lord, filling up on him, and let him spill out during the rest of the week. That's pretty much it. However he pleases. Any blessing that anybody receives from me is just spillage. It's just spillage. And the Lord says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. So as we dig around in our relationship with him, we discover these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we find ourselves saying things that, how did we know that? And we find ourselves being encouraged by things and surprising ways. It's the mystery of his presence with us. It's the mystery of his presence with us. And so on Thanksgiving, I thank the Lord not only for the blessings I recognized, but I also thanked him for the intended blessings that he sent my way, that I missed, that I misinterpreted, that I complained about, or simply resisted. Because I couldn't recognize the creativity behind his blessings towards me that we can recognize by faith. We sing that song, the Lord is blessing me right now. He is blessing you right now. Whatever it is, he's blessing you right now. You know, I say, Lord, help us to be okay on the way to being okay. You know, because we know we're going to be okay. We were talking about this in Sunday school. We know we're going to be okay. We're sitting here because we've been okay. We're sitting here because the Lord has made so many things okay. Not fixed everything, not made it the way we want it to be, but it's okay because we were able to handle it, get past it, hang in there with it. We weren't drowned. We weren't scorched. And so wherever we are right now, receive the full blessing of where we are. Lord, help us to be okay right now on the way to things being okay. Because you see, the truth of the matter is this. Something new is not miles away. Something new is not miles away. Something different is not miles away. Really, something different, something new, is a word away. It's the Lord's word away because the scripture says, he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. So wherever we are, we have in our own minds the sequence of events that have to take place before we're in another spot. Whatever it is, we've got our own sequence of things that need to happen. But the creativity of the Lord says this, no, no, no. We don't have to have step one and step two and step three. Why do you think that life is so linear? Who told you that life was linear? What do you see in the scriptures that suggests that life is linear? What do you see in your own experience that says life is linear? How many of us are exactly where we thought we would be 10 years ago? How many of us are exactly where we thought we would be 5 years ago? How many of us are where we thought we would be 1 year ago? You see, there's this illusion in our minds, a delusion, if you want to call it that, either one, that somehow life has to follow a sequence of events. that whatever situation you're in, you need to have this sequence of events in order to get out of it, in order for things to happen. Well, God says, I'm the creator. I'm going to surprise you because that's not how I work. I didn't tell Peter to go and get our savings account and pay our temple tax because my savings account was in the fish's belly. There's nothing wrong with having a plan. There's nothing wrong with following a plan. The problem always happens when we start to trust in our plan. The problem always arises when we think that life cannot be a blessing without our plan. That is when the problem, you know, I was going to read to you, but I don't have time. I'm going to stop here. But I was going to read to you. I'm just going to encourage you. Read Numbers 11. It's such a fun chapter. I was going to end this morning just reading the chapter. But no, I'm not going to read it. Oh, no, I'm not going to read it. No, but it's a fun chapter. And it's not fun because what's going on in there is all good. There's some stuff going on in there that's not right. In essence, what's happening is the Israelites are going through the wilderness. And the Lord is providing for them every day. And they're complaining. They're complaining because they don't have meat. They're complaining because they're thinking about the food they had when they were back in Egypt. And they're tired of this manna. They said, this stuff is disgusting. We want something else. We're tired of this. We're tired of it. And then Moses gets all unhinged and he says, Lord, why'd you give me these people? Why'd you give them to me? Why are you putting them on my back? They're your people. I take my life. That would be better. You know, and so Moses is going off. And so the Lord says, okay, tell them I'm going to give them some meat. I'm going to give them, call 70 elders together and call them together, and I'm going to make sure that there's some meat in the camp. And they're going to have meat. And, oh, are they going to have meat? They're going to eat it and eat it and eat it until it comes out of their nostrils. And they're going to eat it and eat it and eat it. And so the next day there were quail. Quail came in, and I mean, it was like ankle deep and a mile long. And there was more meat than they could ever consume. And they just all went out and they all had a good time. But the scripture says, while it was still in their teeth, still in their mouth, a bunch of them got sick and died. So I look at that and I said, now, what was the problem here? Certainly, if I was on that journey, after the 900th day of this little powdery stuff that comes out, you know, comes on the dew, that they made into a paste, or that they had to come up with some creative ways to make it this manna, I think I'd kind of be tired too. I'd say, is there chicken? Being real, I said, is there some fish? Something? Beans? Right. Anything. Can we mix it up a little bit? Can you have vanilla manna, chocolate manna, butterscotch manna? But we don't, just something. We need a little bit. And the problem was not that they wanted something more. That was not the problem. The problem was that they complained and that they grumbled because they thought that the something more was the answer. And what the Lord wanted them to see is there's something more to life than manna. That man does not live by bread alone. There's something more for you to have than just your bellies full of a food that's fun. And it's the message to us that there is something more than the stuff we want, and that something more is the presence of the living God. And he wants us to be satisfied with him. We can go there, brothers and sisters. He will help us to go there. Do you want to go there? That is the plan. That is what he wants. That's what Jesus was trying to say when he said, I'm the bread of life. I want you to want me more than the other stuff. I know you need it. I know you want it. I want it for you more than you want it for you. But I don't want it to be a substitute for me. I don't want your hope to be in it. I don't want you to think your life is a bust if you don't got it. I want you to realize that if you've got me, you've got it all. That's what I want you to get. Do you get that? And if you get that, then you'll be able to walk peacefully through your life. Even when the flames come, even when the floods come, because you know you've got it all because you got me. That's where I want to take you, because that and only that is solid ground. Only that is true security. Only that cannot be taken away from you. Nothing can happen to you to take that away. Everything else, subject to change. Subject to decay, subject to rust, subject to thieves breaking in and stealing. Everything else, you're going to leave here when you go. But you know what you're going to take with you? Me. And I'm going to go with you, not only through this life, but all the way through eternity. So build your hopes on things eternal. Build your hopes on me. And that is what the message is for today. And I'm done.